I was driving to work, thinking about this. I was behind a school bus, and the thought hit me, and it weighed on me for the rest of the day. Where are the leaders of tomorrow going to come from? It's great seeing all of you today. I don't see a lot of up-and-coming young leaders. It's just a fact. I'm looking at one. Okay? It's just a fact. And that's not unique to this church. That's not unique to this church. And so ministries like Child Evangelism Fellowship are strategic and important. We have to be mindful. We have to be mindful of our responsibilities to invest in young men and women, both from the standpoint of evangelism and the standpoint of discipling them. There's one example of many in the scriptures of a young man who God did amazing things with and through. His name was Jeremiah. If you could open up your Bible to Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1. In verse 4 and following, Jeremiah says, "Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you." I just stop right there. Every single one of us, every single one of us was known by God, formed by God, and consecrated by God for His purposes. Before you were even born, before I was even born, He knew you. He knew me. Every single child, can be told that. Every single child must be told that. "I have appointed you a prophet to the nations. Then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak because I am a youth." I asked Zach to pray this morning. He goes, "Oh." It is not a requirement that we know how to speak. As a matter of fact, has it dawned on you how many people in the scriptures struggled with the ability to speak? Moses had a speech impediment. Paul was not articulate by his own admission. Jeremiah was not articulate, and he was young. There's a reason why God used men and women who struggled in many areas to do the very thing that they thought they could never do because of that particular struggle. Why? Because it's not you or me, it's Him. "But the Lord said to me, do not say that. Do not say that I am a youth, because everywhere I send you, you will go, and all that I command you, you will speak. Do not be afraid of them. I am with you, and I will deliver you, declares the Lord." There are three fundamental questions that every single one of us has to ask ourselves, and in particular, young people, before they make their plans for their life. It's often asked a young person, "What do you want to do? What do you want to do with your life?" Wrong question. Don't ask a young person that question. Why do we not want to ask a young person, "What do you want to do with your life?" It's the wrong question. And it's leading them in the wrong direction. There are three fundamental questions that must be answered. The first one is, who am I? That speaks to identity. Who am I? That speaks to identity. The second one is, why am I here? That speaks to purpose. And the third one is, what am I supposed to do? And that speaks to plan. Proverbs 16:9 says, in his heart, a man plans his way, but God determines the steps. How do you know how to make such plans? On what basis are you to make such plans? You see, knowing what I know now, if I knew then what I know now, if someone came up to me and said, what do you want to do? The first question that I would ask is, what am I doing here? Who am I? Who am I and why am I here? You see, in order for me to answer the question, what do I want to do or what am I going to do, you first have to tell me, why am I here? How ridiculous that we would make our plans before we understood who we are or why we're here. You go back to Jeremiah. Imagine if somebody walked up to Jeremiah and said, what do you want to do? Well, God's already told me what I'm going to do. It's really not up to me. And that's the right answer. That's the right answer. We wonder why so many young people are leaving the church. We are pushing them that way. Because we don't cultivate a perspective in their hearts that they are children of God, and God has a plan and a purpose for them. You know, and what happens is they start to make their plans independent of God, and not surprising, those plans draw them away from God and away from the church. It is the most ridiculous thing I can imagine. Identity, who am I? If you could open up to Matthew chapter 22. Verse 15. We're all familiar with this interaction. Then the Pharisees went and counseled together how they might trap him in what he said. And they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians. It's the only time the Pharisees and the Herodians ever got along is when they were trying to bring down Jesus. They hated each other. It's kind of like, imagine galvanizing the Democrats and the Republicans. Imagine getting them on the same page, okay? That was the Pharisees and the Herodians, okay? Imagine that, right? Teacher, we know that you are truthful and teach the way of God. The way of God is truth, and defer to no one. If you are not partial to any, tell us therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their malice and said, why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the poll tax. And they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, whose likeness and inscription is on that coin? And they said to him, Caesar. Then he said to them, then render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God's, the things that are God's. Whose image is on you? Okay? What belongs to God? You belong to God. What are you to render to God? You are to render yourself to God because you are created in his image. That is identity. That is identity. We are God's image bearer. Every child needs to know that. Every child needs to be told that they are God's image bearer. The idea of making plans independent of God's will is absolutely ridiculous. He created you for his purposes. How in the world could you even consider making plans without knowing that it's what he wants? He created you. Every single person needs to know this. Psalm 139 says, "Thou did form me in my inward parts. Thou did weave me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are thy works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth." Okay? Before you were even born. Consider that in the light of identity. The first point of identity is that we are God's image bearer. The second point of identity is in John 1, chapter 1, verse 12. "But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become a child of God, even to those who believe in his name." At the moment we accept the Son, we become a child of God. That is your identity. That is your identity. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man is in Christ is identity. The old things have passed away and the new things have come." Who am I? I am God's image bearer and I am a child of God in Christ. Why am I here? What is my purpose? The answer, I am here at the good pleasure of God. That's the answer. That's the answer. And that is the only answer. Look in the mirror and ask yourself, why am I here? I am here at the good pleasure of God. He has preordained my days, and he has a plan for me, and I am here to carry out, for him to carry out that plan in me. You might say, I'm here to be used by God. Psalm 139:16 says, "Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book they were written the days that you ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them." Every single day of your life has been ordained by God. And you're going to live independently of him. You're going to make plans that are independent of him. You're going to conduct your life in a way that is separate from him. Good luck. It's not going to turn out the way you hope it will, if that's the path that you're going to take. We need to connect every decision, every thought, every act that we take. We need to connect it to who we are and why we're here. God has preordained our days on this earth, and he has a plan for those days. Why am I here? Ask him. That's the answer. Ask him. Because I'm not sure, but he's the only one that can tell me. And when he tells me, as he reveals it to me, that's the answer to the question. He made me for his purpose. I wasn't there when he made me. I wasn't there when he counseled with himself on why he was going to make me. I have no idea why he put me here on this earth at this time. I have no idea why he gave me certain strengths and allowed glaring weaknesses in other cases. I have no idea why I grew up in America. I have no idea why I'm here in Rhode Island. I have no idea. I don't know. I don't know. And you don't either. But he made you for a purpose. And he put you in the circumstances that he's put you. And you have been influenced by the people that you have been influenced by as part of his purpose for training you and preparing you for what he desires of you. I best ask him and seek his guidance, lest I miss the mark and live some other way. My personal favorite Bible teacher who has ever lived is a man named Howard Hendricks. I want to quote Howard Hendricks here. "My fear for you is not that you will fail, but that you will succeed at the wrong thing." My fear for you is not that you will fail, but that you would succeed at the wrong thing. Jeremiah 1, 9 and 10 says, Then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you that day over the nations and over thy kingdom to pluck out and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build up and to plant. This is why God put Jeremiah where he was, when he was. The question is, why are you here? How much time are you spending searching for the answer? Have you even thought about it? Going to God and asking him, why am I here? Is it to make a living? We tell our young people all the time, make sure you go and find a job where you can make a good living. Is it to buy a house? Is it to choose a career? Is it to acquire fame, influence? This is what young people are being taught. This is the best of what young people are being taught. Romans 12:1 says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Every single day, we are to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice, which means we are here at the good pleasure of God, which means, what would you have me do this day? What would you have me do this day? Our Lord Jesus had a good idea why he was put here. In John 6:38, he says, For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Now, if Jesus could say that, you can say that. Okay? If Jesus can say that, I can say that. I have come here not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Purpose is the outgrowth of identity. Purpose is the outgrowth of identity. Your purpose is connected to your identity. All throughout the Old Testament, what does God say? You are my chosen people, who I called out from Egypt and delivered into the promised land. Is that not a statement of identity? So that you will be my witnesses to all the nations of the earth. Is that their purpose? Their purpose is connected to their identity. Philippians 2, 12 through 14. Paul says, Not that I have already attained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Jesus Christ. You have been laid hold by Christ for a purpose. It's called a calling. And your purpose is to lay hold of that for which you have been laid hold for. That's your purpose. That's why you're here. To lay hold of that for which you were laid hold for by Christ. What I have been called for. Jesus Christ has laid hold of me. And it is that, and only that, that is my purpose on this earth. Acts 26, 14 and following says, And when we had all fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me in the Hebrew dialect, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And I said, Who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. Arise, stand on your feet, for this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only to the things which you have seen, but the things which I will appear to you, delivering you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles to whom I am sending you. I open your eyes so that you may turn from darkness to light and from the dominion of Satan to God, in order that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified in me. I am God, you are Saul, this is the reason why I have appointed you, or I've called you, for this purpose, that I would anoint you, a minister to these people. That's why you're here, Saul. Let's not have any misunderstandings. between you and me, God says to Saul. Notice you're blind. All right, you're mine. And I'm calling you, and this is the reason why I'm calling you. The third question is, therefore, what am I to do? Who am I? Why am I here? What am I to do? The scripture says, we read it, Proverbs 16:9. In his heart, a man plans his ways, but God determines the steps. Doesn't say not to make plans. We read in the book of James. You don't go and say, I'm going to go here and engage in business and do this and that and make a profit. But it's not wrong to say, I'm going to go and do this and that and make a profit. But you say, if God directs me to do that, I will do that. So how do you go about making a plan? Well, where does God have you? What are your circumstances? How can you be a person of influence in those who God has brought into your life? Not for your own purposes, but an influence for Him. What are your gifts? How are you gifted? Consider where God has you and where He has gifted you, and know that there is a specific set of good works that He has ordained for you. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ, that's the new creation, in Christ, for good works which He has preordained, which means that was already set. And He has gifted you, and He has put you in circumstances specifically so you will be in position to do that which He has called you to do. Therefore, if you look and say, what position am I in? Where are my influence areas? What is my giftedness? There's a really good chance that God brought you to that point and He wants you to do something within the realm of where He has put you. Now, sometimes He might take somebody and move them. Sure, that's possible. But He'll bring about those circumstances. Prayerfully consider where God is leading you and what He wants you to do. The goal is not to figure out what you want. I mean, we're telling young people to go through all these paces without even an inkling of what God has in store for them. How ridiculous. The goal is not to figure out what you want, but to figure out why He put you here. Identity, purpose, plan, they all go together. When making plans, we have to first understand identity and purpose. Who am I? Why am I here? This will form and shape our understanding of what God wants from you and me. We have to avoid allowing the world to define significance, greatness, and impact. These are things that we use to shape our thought process when we make plans. The world cannot define those things for us. We don't get our significance from the world. We don't get our usefulness from the world. Get it from God. He's our creator. That's our identity. What did Jesus say about importance? It only matters to you if you attach your identity and purpose to Him. In Matthew 20:28, we have a woman who comes to Jesus advocating for her sons. She wants her sons to be glorified. She wants a special place for her sons. So she comes to Jesus, Matthew 20:28, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Him with her sons, bowing down and making a request of Him. And He said to her, what do you want? What do you wish? What do you wish? She said to Him, command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit on your right and on your left. But Jesus answered and said, you don't know what you're asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink? And they said to Him, we are able. And He said to them, my cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right and on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. And hearing this, the ten became indignant with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to Himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and great men exercise authority over them. But look at verse 21. Not so among you. You don't look at influence, power, and authority the way the world does. It's not that way among you. That's the way the world thinks about it. Jesus said, not so among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. How many children are being taught what compassion is? Kindness, gentleness, humility, love. That's preparation. If we're going to attach their meaning, their purpose, their significance to their identity, then it's far more important that a child grows up understanding compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, patience in Christ than it is a profession. The most important thing a child will ever do is be a parent. How many children are growing up being taught how to be a parent? You see, we have to look at things God's way. And in order to look at things God's way, we have to ask ourselves, who am I? Why am I here? And therefore, what am I to do? And it's not just children. It's all of us. It's all of us. We all have positions of influence. We all have a level of giftedness, a unique giftedness. We all have various strengths and weaknesses. We all have a community that we're a part of in some way, some fashion, some form. We have a workplace, maybe. We have a family environment. Whatever it is, you have to examine, take an inventory. Where has God put me? What does God have me doing right now? Just take a snapshot. Right now, where am I? What am I doing? What are my areas of influence? Start there and say, okay, God, I'm yours. My purpose is attached to my identity, and I see the circumstances that you have me in. Say, therefore, what am I to do? You know for sure that he wants you to be a living, breathing witness for him. Do it. Do it. That's our call. We need leaders. We need leaders. We need brothers and sisters committed to this. We don't need to just be taking up space. We don't need to just come to church on Sunday, hear a message, and then Monday morning, there's no difference between us and the world. That's not going to cut it. We need to be perpetually living in light of our identity and our purpose. Amen? Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessing of your word. We thank you for the clarity of Scripture. We thank you for our identity and our purpose, both as your image bearer and the reality that we are a child of God in Jesus Christ. Father, may you bless us and show us what you would have us do, our purpose. Bring us where you want us to go in any given situation, and may we always be alert to the calling for which you have called us. In Christ's name, amen.